sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Fantasy. All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui. He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey racket.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classic.
In Texas. Isaiah's already taking his clothes off. We're coming on 9 a.m. on a November 29th. I don't know why he's taking his clothes off. I mean, it's a little bit chilly and nippy. I'm definitely nippy from what I'm seeing over there. Hell, I'm going to take my clothes off, too. Sam, you get into the game. Everybody get into the game. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. I'll take your clothes off. Take your shirt off, at least. Get that biofreeze? Cryotherapy. Get that cryotherapy going in right now, baby. Get it. We're almost into December. It's almost the winter season. Come on, let's get it. We got a big show lined up for you, man. 9:30, Justin Wells is going to come on here, talk a little bit about Texas football and Texas hoops. We'll break down some more NBA hoops, some free agency going around, and a lot going on. We got the league essentially kicking off in, what, 2.5, 3 weeks now? I mean, it's going to be a good time. We're going to talk about some, I guess we always give the overrated films their due. We're going to talk about the 5 underrated films for sports. The 5 most underrated films, I think, for sports, at least.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you know right...
Hold on. Before you, like, continue, I am not tripping out here.
But
it is
tease.
Hot.
It's a tease, man.
It's hot as hell
in
here.
He's got his clothes on, but, I mean, he's teasing me a little bit. Got me a little bit excited. He's taking the clothes off as the start of the show. I'm like, all right.
The Horn Studios... like, temperature is the most bipolar temperature.
Weird.
Like, we don't know what it's going to be. I felt like...
Usually you bring a hoodie regardless, right?
Yeah, you got to bring a hoodie no matter what. But...
And then it's usually like a frigid 33 degrees in here, right above freezing. And then all of a sudden, now it's just like a sauna.
Yeah, and you can't touch it.
No, or the person in charge of that thermostat will seek you out.
Yeah, it's like
Which one of y'all touched it?
It's like a dad. Their temperature at home. Like,
it's a strict uncle. You ever had a strict uncle? Like, fun uncles are cool, but have you ever met a strict uncle? You don't even go to their house. You just don't even show up for Thanksgiving. Nah, I'm all right. Nah, you don't even have good turkey anyways.
You don't even invite the strict uncle?
No.
Well, the strict uncle usually has to host their own.
Right, because they don't get the invite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, what's he got over there? He got stuffing? Nah, we ain't going.
No. So I'm guessing the strict uncle wasn't at your crib
Never.
This past week.
Never. Strict uncle. Wait, only fun zone only, by the way, at my house.
Except you gotta get the strict uncle drunk, though.
No,
kind of like
no,
how Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. looked last night.
What was that? No decision? All right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Nate Robinson. We're going to talk
Nate.
We're going to talk about all of it. We got audio, right?
We got audio.
Do we actually have audio on that?
Yeah, because Snoop Dogg. He was the highlight last night.
I mean, was it church last night for Snoop? Or is it church today for Snoop? We'll figure that out. We got some audio to break down for you there. We'll talk about, you know, all the green that you need in your pocket. Actually, Walsh isn't going to come on the show today. So instead of that, we will have, in his place, we'll have the unsung sports movies. All right, the 5 most unsung. We won't call them underrated. We'll call them unsung. They just don't get their props.
Yeah, don't get their props. They're good movies.
Hey, I'll give you.
Sometimes not the best movies.
I got a Gene Hackman movie in there, but it's probably what people don't think it is, because that movie that usually people think Gene Hackman's in is over.
Sing it.
Overrated.
Sing the tune. I know you know the tune. Sing the tune.
Overrated.
It is overrated. My dad loves that movie. I'm sorry, Dad. I get it. But the fact that they don't see any brothers
until they go to the championship game.
And I'm out here like, okay, we're out here playing this passing around basketball. We got all of these
four corners.
Yeah, these tough corn-fed Indiana guys. Where are the brothers?
Well, Boyle actually averages 22 points a game, but you never heard of him until you get the, you know, you go downstate. But Boyle's their lead scorer.
I'm just saying there has to have been some bootleg Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar-esque brother just leading his team to victory, and he wasn't shown in the movie. At least I would have more respect if he was shown just like in the first couple of rounds of the play. Maybe I understand the times. I get the times.
It was 1940 something.
Right? I get it. But just saying, and then homegirl that was playing too hard to get for Gene.
That's right. You never saw him play, did you? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Chipwood, yeah. I'm his aunt. I'm his elder.
Yeah.
Or whatever she was. Barbara Hershey, whatever your character was.
Yeah, what recruiting did Gene do for, like, I felt like he did the opposite of recruiting, yet Jimmy was out here like, I want that. The fact that you don't want me, sir, the fact that you don't give a damn, you could care less if I was on your team or not, you'd rather lose your job than say, you know what, I want this kid because the whole town wants this kid, and if I don't get this kid, I'm going to lose my right. job. And Jimmy was like, you know what? I'm going to help him out. He's not the best. Is he the best coach? I don't know.
His philosophy's a little different.
Yeah, I don't know. He's tough, you know, disciplinarian. That's what Gene Hackman was in the Hoosiers.
Well, but, he's a naval officer, right? And then
yes.
The thing, I think his quote was, you know, this is your team. You know, I would expect that you would support the team that we are and not the team that we are not. And I think Jimmy was there for the pep rally, and he's like, oh, you don't need, okay. Like, this dude don't want me at all.
Yeah, Jimmy was a little creepy. Like, can you talk?
No.
Like, this is the first time he talks.
I'm just going to shoot jumpers on a dirt mound in my backyard with a flat basketball, and every one of them is going to go in.
Yeah, the Hoosiers should have just been, like,
weird.
A biopic of Larry Bird. Let's just keep it real. That would have been way better. Like, I understand the old heads love it. I love it. I do too. I love making fun of it. I've seen it so many times. I'm at the point. Like, I make fun of He Got Game. Like, I watch that. Ray Allen's terrible. He is a horrible actor. And the fact that people think, like, that his voice.
Why did Rosario Dawson do that movie? Why did she do that movie?
That was good for her.
She was great in it. I mean, she's great in everything that she does, but I mean.
Right, and like, Denzel, you talk about a carry job. Denzel carried Ray the whole time. Like, and people think Ray was good. It was a great movie. Ray was terrible.
No, Ray was bad.
And that's okay to say. Like, it's okay to say that Kyle Kuzma was terrible in the playoffs, but the Lakers won the championship. Like, that just happens.
Ray was terrible, but He Got Game was a good movie.
Yes! That's just what it is. Like,
it works like that.
Gene Hackman was good. Hoosiers, not the best movie.
I'm going to put it at 7. I'm going to give it a solid 7.
But again, a lot of people give it a
9.
Yeah.
And I think that's overrated.
A lot of people say that's the basketball movie. Like that's the staple basketball movie. When people think of classic basketball movies, Hoosiers is what comes to mind. And that's just mind-boggling. Like, that just kind of shows me there aren't any. Are there any?
What?
Like, we're going to go down the list.
The movie that I think is one of the Hoop movies that I have on there is so underrated, but I think it's such a great movie, and it gets no love.
Yo, you better not stay above the rim. You better not.
That's what I was doing, bro. You know it, man. Because of the soundtrack. Because of the soundtrack, dude. I love Above the Rim, man. Get your bunks. Get on the pole and get your bunks.
Oh,
come
my
on, man. Tom,
goodness.
What was the dude's name? Tom, I can't remember.
Tommy Shepard.
Tom Shepard.
Tom Shepard.
Doing some one on one on a rooftop.
There's just so many things about that movie that I don't understand.
I don't understand. That's New York too, right? I haven't been up in New York like that. I mean, I've traveled. I've seen New York, but I haven't been up in New York Hoop Squad style.
Like, I swear he was wearing corduroy shoes.
Oh, he was. No.
He was in the taxi cab, Tommy Shepard, and they were playing, like, in that tournament, that outside tournament, and he said, you know what?
I got some cords on, I got some boat shoes, we're gonna go rock this.
Yeah, like, I don't care, I'm about to go drop 45, randomly.
But he's that good.
He's Tom Shepard.
And they were fighting on the court. I don't want to mess up. I know this is your... I don't want to...
We'll definitely get into it, but...
I just knew it was.
You know me so good, bro.
I just knew it was.
The fact that I was going to pull that card, and we hadn't talked about this. This is not in pre-show. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what... That was his natural reaction to me having that guy on my list. Well, shocker, spoiler alert, it's one of them that's on the list. But yeah, man, that's my go-to, bro.
Because the funny thing is, I watched all of these movies recently. Just because of quarantine, you've been watching movies. So, like, all of these movies I have watched.
I can't even wait anymore. How bad do you think that movie is?
Because there's so many parts of it being bad. That's the thing. Because it starts with Dwayne Martin, and he's the main character. I forgot his name, but Dwayne Martin, he's the guy who he's supposed to go to Georgetown. He's
right.
Big time recruit, but he's a little hot.
Seton Hall was relevant back then. Dude.
Yeah, John Thompson, rest in peace. Like, I know John Thompson did a lot of movies back then, like a lot of cameos for basketball movies.
Maybe that's my draw to it, is because of all the East Coast swag with it, like GT still rocking, and maybe they make Dwayne kind of like Iverson, but he's not Iverson at all.
No, he is not Iverson. He is not.
I don't know, man. What is my? I'm gonna.
He's
have to
not
go
Lance
back and,
Stevenson.
And, nope. I'm gonna have to go back and watch this one more time and find out what my actual draw for this is.
And that's the thing, like,
it's got to be the music.
There's so many. I think Tupac puts it in a category that makes it legendary. Because I know, like, the reason why I said Above the Rim, because I know it's still a legendary movie, even though it's not good. But it's still, I know when I'm watching it, I'm in my mind like, yo, this is legendary. Like, this is Tupac. You're hooping. You got Tommy Shepard.
You got his mouth the entire time. He's just sucking on a razor, dude.
Again, there's so many things to why it's a bad movie. That's another one. And then, like, you got a really young Marlon Wayans, who is just, like, then Bernie Mac as, like, the homeless man. Like, there's so many things that are going on in Above the Rim. But, yeah, I knew you were going there.
I knew you were going there.
I've known you for a long time.
That movie might have, it may have came up in a conversation or two before, like when I say of some of the best basketball movies out there, and that, I raised some eyebrows with my selections.
Yeah, because people are very confused.
They're like, why do you think that's a good movie? Well, I'm going back, I'm gonna put it out on a limb, I'm thinking that probably the soundtrack is what enticed me or influenced me.
Was the soundtrack really that good?
Yeah, I mean, it had some... I mean, Pour Out a Little Liquor, and you couldn't get that song anywhere back in the day unless it was on that soundtrack. They didn't even have a single out. You know what I mean? You couldn't go to Sam Goody or Waxy Maxy or anything like that back in the day.
Oh, man, Sam Goody.
Yeah. You couldn't go back there. There wasn't a single out on it. You had to buy the entire album of Above the Rim.
Right.
The soundtrack was...
It was fire, okay.
It was good. But yeah, all right. Yeah, that's a little tease. But that's what we're going to be doing at 10:30. So we kind of teased it a little. What's going around the actual NBA? What do we? I mean, we got about 3 weeks coming up until the actual tip off actually comes into play, and then we get started with the hardwood there. But
a lot of money being thrown around. That's what I see.
Do you think it's worth? What's some of the biggest moves being made that you were just like, whoa, mind blown? Like, why is this even happening?
I mean, we already talked about the Gordon Hayward deal. That's still...
Gordon Hayward, $132 million, right?
Yeah, $120 million, I think. Some ridiculous. Another thing that was very shocking was the Bogdan Bogdanovic no deal in Milwaukee, because obviously that would have, you know, put their team, I think, over the hump, especially with the addition of Drew Holiday. But now, since he had that really weird, you know... sign-in trade deal about his contract, where he got to decide at the end of the day if he was a free agent or so, or, you know, if he would like to be traded or not. So he clearly didn't want to go to Milwaukee, because that deal was done. All he had to do was accept it.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm going to go. I want to be a free agent. I want to make the most of my situation. And he chose Atlanta instead, who... look like a pretty solid and scary team that I really wouldn't want to play in the playoffs, because people forget these teams that didn't go into the bubble, they're going to come out hot.
Rested too, bro.
Rested hot like the Warriors, even though they don't have Clay, the, you know, addition of Kelly Oubre Jr. And again, people forget that Andrew Wiggins is there. Andrew Wiggins, he might not be the number one pick that everybody was expecting when he came out in the draft, but he is going to be a really good role player, and he's going to play off Steph and, you know, Draymond very well. And I think, especially with Steve Kerr in that offense, he's going to benefit, you know, tremendously. So the Warriors are still going to be a really good team.
I'm with you there. Maybe Wiggins flourishes in a role where he's not having to put it all on him and carry the team, right? Like, he didn't have to really do so when he was up in Minnesota with Kat and Jimmy. But, I mean, still, like, you still felt a little bit of the spotlight. You still felt a little bit of his role was the ability of the go-to scorer and get the bucket at any time when it was actually Jimmy.
Yeah, and the thing with his situation in Minnesota, he still had those expectations placed on him because he was the number one
pick. And he got traded, that the trade that went down too. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about, you know, his prestige that he was coming off of the draft pick with the
Cleveland
Love deal. Yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to go to Cleveland, and obviously when LeBron, you know, went there, he sent K-Love there. I forget about that. Yeah. But still, him being in Minnesota, he always had that, you know, bullseye on him that was just like, you're the number one pick, you're not playing to those expectations. And then the Jimmy Butler situation didn't help at all. So him having a fresh start with the Warriors, we really didn't see what he could do once he got to, you know, Dub Nation. And now that he's there, obviously with Steph, the focus is going to be on him the whole time. But you've got, you know, role players like Draymond, who's going to be a lot better than what he has been. I think, you know, Draymond kind of played not down to the competition, but I think he allowed, you know, Durant and Clay and Steph to really flourish and took a, you know, even more of a back seat than before because he had to. Now he's going to have more responsibility offensively. We're going to see a better Draymond Green.
Who won free agency and who lost free agency, in your opinion, in terms of team-wise, NBA?
Who won it is the Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay, I was expecting you to say Lakers, but
oh, well, yeah, I'll get to them. The Portland Trail Blazers, I think, won free agency. Them and the Atlanta Hawks, and the reason why Portland won it was the, you know, addition of Robert Covington. Like, Robo, that's huge, man. He was really good in the playoffs for Houston. Like, he was the one bright, you know, spot for Houston that brought it every night. And, you know, him being 6'10", him being a really good 3-and-D guy, that's what the Blazers need. Like, Gary Trent Jr., yeah, he's good, but he's only 6'4". He's only going to get, you know, him trying to guard LeBron, that really exposed them. But I know, obviously, no one could guard LeBron, but when you got a guy like Robert Covington, that's a lot better than what most guys have. And then you still got Dame, who, you know, I think he's the best point guard in the league when healthy. Obviously, Steph's going to come back and have a few things to say about it. But, you know, Dame has proven himself. And then CJ McCollum, who's one of the most underrated players in the league, you know.
Top five backcourt.
Not even close, man. It's easily a top five backcourt. So, you know, Nurkic has another year under his belt being healthy. Zach Collins, I don't think he was really himself coming back from that injury in the bubble. So they got a lot of guys who are comfortable in their bodies now because they were injured before, who, you know, are going to help them out a lot. You know, bringing back Melo, huge move, just because they got that leadership. We know how hungry Melo is. That's going to,
dude, you know, he surprised me, man. His offense was on point, was back. I'll say it's back. I'm not, like, thriving or anything, but, I mean, he looked like he deserved to be on the floor.
Melo is at a place where he is comfortable enough to say, okay, I'm not that 25-point, you know, a game scorer anymore. I understand my role.
Yeah, how do I fit into this
offense? And we've never seen that Melo before. Even when he was with, you know, OKC and Houston, he felt like, this is a big three. Like, well, who I'm with, Paul George, me, Paul George, and Westbrook. Big Three, me, Chris Paul, and James Harden, Big Three. Big Three. And, you know, when he was thinking like that, they were like, okay,
come down, buddy.
Chill out a little bit. That might have been too much for our franchise. And now that he can't look at CJ and Dame and say, you know, this is the Big Three, y'all. He needs to say, I am just a role player. You know, Terry Stotts, you know, just put me in the game when y'all need me. I'm going to play hard, and that's what you need from Melo.
I don't know if I could do this show if I knew that all these dudes were listening to us, because we clown on so many fools.
You laugh. I did not. I love
you,
Melo.
You say funny
you
stuff.
You laugh.
It's not my fault. You stay... I lose my bearing because you say some funny stuff.
I'm just keeping it real. I love Carmelo Anthony. He's one of my favorite players of all time. That 03 class, it was something special because that was when I was really falling in love with the NBA.
Was that probably one of your first influences?
No, not even close. I went back. Again, I was born after my full name's Isaiah Jordan Carrier. I was named after Bad Boy Pistons, Isaiah Thomas, and Michael Jordan. So I was introduced to the game very early. I fell in love very early. But when you started, like, really breaking down the numbers, you know I like those numbers.
You go inside.
I go inside and I break it down. Sam knows I go inside those numbers. That's what the show is about. So once that was kind of when I really started breaking it down. That 03 class of Chris Bosh and Kurt Heinrich. And I love Kurt Heinrich, man. I need to talk to BK about that, because that's some real old school stuff. That's probably my favorite Kansas player of all time.
Okay, so we talked about the Pelicans a lot last year, and one player in particular, Brandon Ingram, who just probably had his breakout season of the year last year. Do you think he deserves his 5-year max contract of $158?
Yeah, I think, man, the Pelicans, they kind of gripped him in a way. Like Brandon Ingram, he was very generous. Oh yeah, I think he was up there. Again, we saw Bam Adebayo. What Bam Adebayo and Donovan Mitchell, and who signed for like up to $195 million for 5 years.
Right? You figured
that was okay. Yeah, and Jason Tatum, same thing. Like Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, and Donovan Mitchell all went for 5 years, up to $195 million. While Brandon Ingram didn't. You know the difference between those three guys and Brandon Ingram? All of those guys got to flourish in the playoffs in the bubble this year.
And they have that on their
resume. And that's big, man. When you kill in the playoff, because that's just, you know, the respect that you get, how hard everybody's playing, what's on the line, you know, that kind of raises eyebrows. It forces your hand, you know, and the performance that Jason Tatum put on, Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, when he was battling Jamal Murray, who's already been paid. So the Nuggets, they were probably like, well, thank God we paid this guy last year before he went crazy, because he would have asked for buku money. But Brandon Ingram.
Who's fighter?
No, Jamal Murray.
Because Donovan Mitchell went off, too.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he got paid. Like, it was time for him to get paid, and he, you know, got his money. So the fact that the Pelicans only, you know, got $158 million for Brandon Ingram, who, again...
$45 million discount, right?
He's like a B-plus KD. And KD is insanely good. Brandon Ingram is, you know, he's very close to KD offensively. He doesn't have that, you know, straight, I will take the heart out of your chest and stomp on it mentality that KD does.
Cold,
yeah, but Brandon Ingram, you know, he has all the attributes.
I like that a lot. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about hoops basketball and hoops gridiron with Justin Weld, managing editor of Inside Texas. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire on 1049, 1019 AM 1260. You stream it live at 1FM.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You're streaming live at hornfm.com. We were talking a little bit about unsung movies, the unsung sports movies of our time. And Zay actually
guessed right off the top of the head what my number one would probably be, and because he knows me so well. But we'll get back into that. We've been talking a lot of basketball, a lot of NBA, but we got to go to the collegiate hoops right now and go over to the 40 acres. First off, we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Canteen Hotline to welcome on our good friend Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424, the managing editor of Inside Texas. What's going on, brother? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Wags. How are you guys doing?
We are just doing fantastic. Any better, and we just couldn't stand ourselves, Justin Wells. How you doing?
Hey, man, I've been up for a while with a four-year-old little boy and a one-year-old English bulldog. My life never stops.
I'd love to hear that, man. How was Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one?
Man, it was great. We went a little untraditional this year. You know, the Greenberg turkey plant had burned down, and that's something that was a staple for our family for years. And so when that happened, we decided it was going to be a ribeye Thanksgiving.
Now you're talking.
We got about 5 pounds of ribeyes, and then marinated them for 48 hours, and threw them on the grill, some corn on the cob. We had some buttermilk pie. I mean, it was great, man. It was such a blessing with my family and my boy. It was a good time. Of course, I saw the Cowboys get absolutely mutilated by a team's initials of what a WTF. I'm still thankful for my family.
I love it, brother. Hey, can you invite me over for them ribeyes next year, please? Because I'm telling you, man, the turkey, I can't do the turkey anymore. I just can't do it.
I'd
much rather have barbecue, brother.
You give me a Greenberg turkey, and I'm set. I'm happy. But I will say, the ribeye Thanksgiving was it was a hit. I've had some positive feedback on it, so I was pretty fired up.
Well, fire up the grill, that's for sure, Justin. All right, let's fire up the old hoops squad here going around with the 40 acres. Well, already 1-0, 19th team in the nation, looked great in their first matchup. Now they got a Davidson squad tomorrow. We already said it, man. You know, talked about it a little bit in the preseason or in the offseason here. This team could be special.
A lot of athletes. This team is going to out-athlete a lot of teams. This is easily Shaka Smart's most athletic bunch. It's definitely his best bunch. It might be the most athletic bunch I've seen in 10 years on the 40 acres. This is a very, very athletic team. I know I've said that four times, but I'm just trying to get a point across. These guys can fly. They go up and down the floor. Each one of them brings their own skill set. And I think what's more and more of them, they find their roles. They find what they're good at. They find, you know, where they can make a few adjustments and tweaks. I think it's going to be actually a good season. You know, Trey and Chad asked me last week about who do I think is, you know, guys that could break out or guys that could really, you know, come forward. And it's like Matt Coleman. He's a true ball handler. He's a true point guard. That they need shooters. And without Andrew Jones and Jace Febres, you know what they did? They shot the ball really well. Greg Brown was a little aggressive early, which that's what you're going to get when you're a potential superstar like that guy, but he also churned out a double-double in his first game. And then Kai Jones. I mean, there's just not enough people talking about Kai Jones. He is a Sunday basketball player. He's a high flyer, and he's got some skills. And so it's fun to watch that bunch. It's fun to watch them run up and down. And I'm guessing there's going to be at least one poster per game when we're dealing with Greg Brown III, because that guy, he just flies. He's on another planet.
Well, Zay here, let me ask you about Will Baker entering the transfer portal. And, you know, I feel like I've seen Will Baker grow as a kid from going to my dad's basketball camps to playing at Bowie his freshman year before transferring to Westlake. And it's interesting seeing a guy who I feel like he kind of has the Sam Ehlinger effect to where he wanted to come to Texas his whole career. And now seeing him enter the transfer portal, can you elaborate more on, you know, what you think about that?
I'm a little disappointed. I had high hopes for Will Baker. You know, this kid came in, I kind of compared him to Rafe LaFrance. That's kind of who he reminded me of. And old, you know, for any of your older guys, it's an old Kansas All-American who's had a pretty good career in the NBA. You know, Will can shoot, and Will can do a lot of things around the basket. He's skilled. But I think this team was so deep I think that it was just a matter of he wasn't going to get his minutes this year. He just there wasn't room for him. And that's a rare occurrence with Texas basketball when you can't find, you know, minutes for talented guys. But that goes to show you kind of where the program's at. Now, granted, I thought Will would stick around. He kind of wanted to use this free season. Everyone knows, you know, they're getting a free year in this pandemic. He kind of wanted to use it as almost like a red shirt to get stronger, to get more skilled, to get more savvy at the college game. But I guess he decided after the first game of no minutes that another place might be best for him. I hate that because I think he's a talented kid. He was like the top 40 kid in the nation. He chose UCLA. He was a big get for Shaka Smart in this group. But last year, you know, we didn't see hardly anything from him last year, which I was a little surprised by. It seemed like the college game was a little more advanced for him than we anticipated.
Yeah, and he struggled tremendously from beyond the arc, too, Justin. You can't be 7 foot out there and keep taking three-pointers and not having them go in. Who's rebounding for you?
Hey, listen, I used to tell shooters all the time, you shoot until you make it, and then you shoot until you miss it, and then you shoot it again. But you only tell those to the shooter.
Right.
And I know Will Baker can handle the ball, and I know he's got a decent stroke, but man, after, you know, last year it was tough watching him air ball and really having a hard time shooting from beyond the arc. I don't know if it was nerves, I don't know if it was tempo, you know, the speed of the game, the length or what, but he struggled. But you know, we all guys at this level struggle.
Sure.
They all hit a wall at some point, and I was really hoping Baker would climb over that wall. You know, you got to bust through it sometime. And Will just decided that, you know, maybe he needs a fresh start and a new beginning somewhere else. And I wish him all the best. I wish he was still on the team because, like I said, I think he's got some serious skill. But this group is deep, and he wasn't going to see the floor this year. And I think that was the ultimate factor.
Right. And some of the struggles from last year that looked like it might have carried over. And, again, it was only game one, right? But the offense was still a little bit slow. It was a little bit lethargic in the half-court set. But I think the X factor now, which is there, Greg Brown, right? When you saw these the plays slowly develop, right, in the offensive half court set, and then you would start the shot clock would start to, you know, trickle down and, you know, get to 7, 6, 5, and then the ball would be out on the wing or the elbow, and then you'd be like, all right, well, you know, what are we going to do? We can't get to the cup. You know, we're going to have to settle for, you know, a 25 footer or a 30 footer or something like that. Well, now, I mean, you spoke to it, the athleticism, tremendously here in the segment that we have you on here. Well, you know, you don't have to settle for that shot because you got length on the perimeter that can take two steps and get to the cup.
You got guys that can get to the basket. You've got guys that are more explosive on offense. You've got you've got guys that have been through the system for 2 or 3 years. That's why this team has some high expectations for the first time in Shaka Smart's career. It's because he's got a great blend of senior and junior veterans with some skill and some talent and some of those young guns in GB3 and Kai Jones. And so, like I said, I hate it for Baker, but in this offense, they're going to be able to do more. They're going to be able to do more, and a lot of that's going to be the simple fact that they have a ball handler. And if Andrew Jones and Fedris can be the outside shooters they need, you're definitely going to get guys that are going to be able to open up the offense a little bit. I want to see more fluidity in the offense. You know, they do a lot of ball screen. If you want to do that, you're going to have to pick and pop. And that means Greg Brown's going to have to hit some outside shots to make some of these guys. Otherwise, the defense is going to just sag. They're going to have to keep them calm. They're going to have to keep them where they should. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they turn it out. The first game was fun. I'm looking forward to Davidson. Like I said, and I told these people this before, Greg Brown, I don't know how many games Texas basketball is going to play this year. I don't think anybody knows how many games are going to actually be played, get canceled, get postponed. You should watch every game because you don't know how many you're going to get to see of this guy. He is fun. He brings life. He brings energy. And not to mention, he's got some really good teammates. And so, the only thing that gave me pause from the game last week was Shaka Smart's hairdo. It looks like George Jefferson's illegitimate kid. Like, I can't get past his hair.
Yeah, I was taken back a little bit, brother. I didn't know who that was at first. I was like, whoa.
I was like, oh, that's Shaka. Oh, that's Shaka. Okay.
The hairline's a little pushed back with
back.
The fro.
It's
with, the fro, the hairline's a little pushed back.
See, I thought that was a fade going on. No, I'm giving up. I'm trying to help him out, bro. I'm trying to help him out. Hey, you mentioned it. I mean, you know, Greg Brown came in 24 minutes, and then, you know, we had, you know, Sims coming in, you know, logging in 19 minutes. But the backcourt, pretty good. I mean, pretty good. Coleman and Ramey, 36 and 34 here. And then, you know, really, Ramey just almost having a double-double himself with 20 and 7 there. Looked pretty good in the first matchup. We're going to have to figure out, or we're going to have to see this going forward against Davidson, but I'm impressed. I know there's a lot of excitement, a lot of hype with this hoop squad, but we got to get to some tough questions. So Zay's got a few questions for you, man.
Yeah, well, we talk about the positive before we hit the negative, and this football team, you know, with the loss on Friday, just can you just break down where we go from here?
Yeah, man.
We love you, Justin.
This is tough. I think everyone understood what was at stake. A chance at making the Big 12 championship, a chance at extending the season, a chance at making something of 2020 with really the best group, the most talented group that Tom Herman's had at Texas. And it just, like so many other games, I don't know if I've seen a team play more one-score games in my life. I don't know. At this point, I feel like it's probably on purpose. And when you coach in the Big 12, you got to coach to score. You got to coach. You can't coach to just win by one. You can coach to win by
ton. Absolutely, yeah.
Because they can pick up. I mean, it's like PlayStation and Madden. You can pick up a lot of points really quick when it comes to this conference. And I don't think Tom Herman ever bought into that. I think he liked the power spread, you know, kind of beat them down, be physical at the line of scrimmage, kind of grind it out. And those games, when you play one-score games, it's like if I'm playing Russian roulette.
Yep.
At some point, you're going to get bit at some point. And so now, moving forward, you know, this is going to be tough last month of the season for football fans. This is going to be tough for the players. It's going to be even tougher for the coaches. I don't see a scenario where Tom Herman comes back next year.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, too.
I don't think that's in the cards at this point, because when you've got the fifth or sixth most talented roster in college football and you're 5-3 and four of those five losses were really, really ugly slobber knockers that could have gone either way, this team could easily be 2-7. Or 2-5. I just don't see that scenario. Zay, I'd love to give you something positive, but after Turkey Day, it was negative. It was an overcast, kind of sluggish morning, and Texas comes out like gangbusters, man. 10 points, like it's nothing. Great game plan going into it, but then it's almost like they didn't have one for the second half. They didn't have one for the adjustment. And give Matt Campbell a ton of credit.
Sure.
That guy, he has learned how. You know what? If Herman wants a book of instructions on how to play in the Big 12, go read Matt Campbell's memo. That guy has beaten Oklahoma, TCU, Texas twice. He has done exactly what you do to compete in this conference. And now he's a game away from playing in the Big 12 championship title game. And I hate to say it to Iowa State fans, but you better enjoy Matt Campbell now, because that guy might be looking in maize and blue next fall.
Oh, yeah, he'll be
there's
poached.
A lot of colleges that – Yeah, there's a lot of colleges that are going to want him. So give him a ton of credit. Give those guys a ton of credit. I wish it could have ended better, especially for Sam Ellinger. You know, this is where the Cowboy rides away. That was his last game at DKR, and it's kind of an emotional, sentimental thing, because he'd been there for 4 years and he'd been the man for 4 years, and he had brought so much to the program. But at the end
so
of the
much
day,
hope back
end,
to the program.
Oh man, it's going to be tough for football fans over the next month. But there's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be a lot behind the scenes. There's going to be a lot of movement. There's going to be a lot of coaching rumors. There's a ton of stuff that's going to happen in the next month, and that has to give Texas fans some excitement. That has to give Texas fans a bright light at the end of the tunnel, because I do think brighter and better days are coming.
You know, Wells, you talk about the talent that we have here at the 40 Acres, and then you talk about Matt Campbell and what he's doing. And I'm not crazy, but what I see or what I saw Iowa State do on Friday and how they used their running back and Brock Purdy, how confident he looked, and all those tight ends going crazy. And I'm like, man, these guys, they don't look like three-star guys. And that just shows what Matt Campbell has done with, you know, that organization there at Iowa State.
Absolutely. You know, the tight ends were killing Texas. And we talked about that before the game. That was going to be a major point of emphasis. You've got to find the matchups there. And that's what Campbell and those guys were able to do. They were able to find those mismatches. And they were really good with their positional breakdowns. When you're late in the game, I don't understand a scenario where Kay Brewer, Shuler, and a couple of those other guys, Wiley, are on the field at the same time. Maybe get the best three or four receivers you got on the team and have them run in a rotation. These are things that should have been solved in September, not in November. And that's what happens to you. And give Campbell credit. Those guys know how to use the tight end. Those tight ends are going to play on Sunday. They were maximized. That's what you want. Brock Purdy knew exactly where he was going with the ball. Breece Hall, you know, they contained Breece Hall for the most part, and that's a great running back. That's probably the best tailback in the Big 12. And the Texas D-line did a good job, and that front seven did a great job of kind of containing him for the most part. But once you were started relying on the safety to cover those tight ends, that's when it started to bite you.
I felt like you needed to have your linebackers on the field, and you needed to keep them on the field and just have them get more depth faster to take away that nose zone in between the safeties and the linebackers. I don't understand. Of course, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, doing radio on Sunday and not calling a game, so I'm sure they probably know a little bit more than me, but it just boggled my mind. It's kind of like the all-telling eye in the sky. You know, why are we seeing this and you're not?
That's exactly how I approach it a lot, Wags. You know, I'm just the guy that writes about it for a living. And so those guys know a lot more than we do. But I do know this, the safety play has really taken a step back. It flashed in some spots, and Chris Brown, I think, has actually had a really solid season. I think DJ's done well too, but Caden Stearns seems to not be himself. He's not in the right places. He's not taking the right angles. I'm not sure if it's an effort issue, but Iowa State knew that.
Right.
And that's the point.
Yeah, they exploited it.
They knew what the mismatches were, and they exploited it. Bijan Robinson had 15 carries, which is three more than his career high against West Virginia at 12. He probably could have toted that thing 10 to 15 times more. He barely touched it in the second half after force feeding him on the first two drives, which were successful. There's a miscommunication here, guys. There's a breakdown in some sort of there's something wrong in this aspect, and I think that's kind of the culmination of Herman's tenure at Texas. You know, there's been great recruiting classes, but they're tremendously underdeveloped. And the one thing I can't stop thinking about is the fact that Sam Ellinger, each year he was the starting quarterback at Texas from his freshman year to this year, the team got worse.
Yeah.
When you got a four-year starter, those guys should be getting better. But his sophomore year loses L.J. Humphries. Then he loses Devin Duvernay. Then he loses Colin Johnson. There were nobody to fill in. There's nobody to take those roles. The offensive line was worse. That's coaching. That's development, and that's the fundamental breakdown, and that's probably going to be what costs Herman.
Okay, so we're pretty much sitting there thinking that Herman's not coming back. I mean, which is awful for him because it was his dream job to come back here to Texas. But and in your mind, right? I know what's happening in my mind. In my mind, against that Iowa State game, what really solidified the decision for me is when you had a chance to extend the lead to 7 and force them to actually take it, you know, go down and drive the length of the field and score a touchdown to tie the game up, and then you're in position, hypothetically, you'd be in position to come down and kick a field goal for the win, not to tie it. Instead, you elected to go for it on fourth down, which I think was, you know, it wasn't the right call, but it looked like the spot was a bad spot anyways, and it looked like Sam actually converted the fourth down, hell, even the third down, as a matter of fact. But still, that's not what happened on the field. The referees ruled it short, and it ended up costing you the ball game, in my opinion.
Context matters. And just because you've been working on a fake punt for 2 weeks does not mean you need to run it. There are contexts in each series, in each part of the game. There are times where you might need to use a fake punt. There's times when you might need to kick the field goal to make it a 7-point game instead of the other one. I kind of liked Herman's approach. Get the first down, get more clock chewed off. If they get that 1 yard, they probably win the game. That's the end of the game. So I kind of like that idea, but it just didn't work. Iowa State was ready for it. If they're going to go on for fourth, it seems like Sam Ellinger's going to touch it each time.
Sure.
I think Iowa State and John Heacock, the defensive coordinator, they knew that. And like that goes back to my first problem. It's a fundamental breakdown. There needs to be more of the, there needs to be more development. There needs to be more when it comes to formations and schemes, the things that you don't have tendencies. But we didn't see that. Texas won the first half. They lost the second half. And in the end, they lost the game almost the exact same way they lost the game to Iowa State the year before.
No.
It was almost identical.
Yep.
Joe Cook, my main man inside Texas, even mentioned that. And he was exactly right. It came down to a final field goal, and that's what did it again.
No, I'm with you, man. Like, it's mind-boggling to watch, you know, a coach that apparently loves this organization and this institution of higher education so much that, you know, he's willing to come back here and this would be his dream job. But, again, and another thing that I love about Herman is he does, you got to give him credit, he believes in his players. Like, he trusts his boys. He believes in his team to get out there and go for that fourth and one. But still, at the same time, man, you got to be a little bit more decisive and you got to make a more heady fundamental decision. And that would have been, to me, taking the points. But I'm with you, man. I love where he was at. I love the mentality. Go down there, be aggressive, get the first down, extend the drive, and win the game, run the clock out. But, you know, you're always taught to take the points. You're always taught to take the points, man. But I don't know. It's something that I'll always wonder, that's for sure, man. Justin Wells, managing editor of Inside Texas, joining us on Twitter. You can find, or joining us on Twitter, joining us on the radio. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Justin, bad clock management on our part. We got to get out of here, man, but nothing but the best from you. You bring it every time you come on the show, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, I got Kendall Hilton in my flex right now for the games today. In both my leagues, I got Kendall Hilton. What do you think about my new quarterback from Denver?
Well, I think a chip, a chair, and a prayer is what they usually say, man. I don't want to say you're down on two legs here, but my goodness, man, can it get any better? Go to the wire, dude.
I've never seen a quarterback situation like that. There had to be something COVID related where it's like, look, you can grab a practice squad quarterback in case all of your quarterbacks go out.
You got one of the best quarterbacks up in the front office.
A converted receiver.
Exactly. You got one of the best quarterbacks up in the front office. How do you not have a finger, your pulse on this, on a quarterback situation? How is this happening? Great point, Justin. We'll talk about that too.
He was an incredible player. One of the best I've ever seen. One of the most incredible arms and gutsy quarterbacks I've ever seen. But his management of team,
lost.
No, he'd be cut. He'd been cut years ago, brother.
No way, Elway, that's for sure. All right, Justin Wells, you can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Hey, brother, nothing but the best, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Wells.
Nothing but love, gentlemen.
All right, be good, brother. Nothing but love. There he goes. You can find him, he's one of the best in the business, man. You can find him on Twitter, JustinWells2424. Don't go anywhere. The Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260 when we come back. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire. Oh, as it drops! The Wagner Wire on 104.9 AM 1260. Stream live at HornFM.com. Sorry, it's a little bit of touch and go. Justin Wells went a little bit too long, but not long enough. We could always listen to that dude just spit UT hoops and gridiron. All right, hour number one in the books. On the other side, hey, don't go nowhere. Sam Stash and also Nate Robinson. Sorry, buddy. Sorry. Still sleeping. It's the Mike Tomorrow, 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Stream live at HornFM.com, hour number two.